New Year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. Now get a savory sausage McMuffin with egg, plus hash browns, and a small coffee for just $5.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Welcome back here to the Ruthless Aggression Podcast on the Barber's Chair Network. Pierce is still away for the time being, so right now it is still me, Chris Novak, joined alongside by Rob O'Neill. No guests today. We're doubling up as the road to No Mercy continues, and we talk about the fallout from Unforgiven 2005. And talking, of course, about things that are going on in the current state of wrestling, and that I believe we should just end up beginning with the draft, which, of course, if you're listening to this now, it's either the first night has happened already or it's about to happen, depending on when it's posted. And, Rob, for me, we were talking about this before we went on the show. I don't feel a certain way about certain people moving to different brands, to be honest with you, right now. I know in the past we've talked about people who need to move or, quote-unquote, do all this and after they've done all this and on a certain show, but the state of affairs in WWE over the last year and a half because of the Thunderdome and the pandemic and all the releases and whatnot, it's kind of made for an interesting situation where I'm not really focused on that.
Yeah, you know, it seems more interesting to kind of talk about, like, are there going to be NXT call-ups, which NXT is eligible for the draft, so it seems like there's going to be NXT call-ups, and it's like, you know, those people that we haven't seen on the main roster yet, especially, you know, some of the people who haven't really factored into NXT 2.0 yet, it's more interesting, really, about those people than, you know, whether Seth Rollins or whatever goes back to Raw
Faces,
you know, the same guys he's faced in the past. Like, it's not like there's a fresh matchup or feud that we've never seen that's, you know, going to happen that we're sitting on waiting for. But yeah, I think it's interesting, like, you know, the rumor, I think we'll just start with this one, is that Hit Row's going up. And, you know, whether or not you think they're ready as a group, which they might not be, they're different than anything else on the main roster television right now. And I think that plays a part, too.
I don't think they're going anywhere. I don't care that that's the rumor. There's no reason for me to believe that they're going anywhere.
That's fair.
Because
it's just where I wanted to start.
I feel that, but I don't think they're ready. I honestly don't. I think that, yes, they're different, but I don't think that means that they're ready.
You know, the thing is, I think Swerve's ready.
Is he, though? Are we sure?
And the rest of them don't really wrestle. So, I mean, B-Fab wrestles, but the rest of them, you know,
the other two have been wrestling in tags, but, I mean, they have to keep somebody down there because they have to do War Games at some point, and it only makes sense to do that with them and Legado.
We don't know what TakeOver is going to look like going forward.
I don't either, but I'm just saying that, like, and also, that's your North American champion, and with, you know, I know anyone can be selected, but you don't want to deplete everything and make everything start from scratch.
You know, he's defended that title zero times.
I don't care. That's another reason why they shouldn't have him go up. Yeah, like, you have to have people there who are established. You can't just go bare bones with it, because how are you going to get people intrigued? You can't. The fascination about everything is going to eventually wear off. They have to establish people, and they also have to have previously established people on the show. They can afford that in certain areas, particularly the women, even though obviously after this coming week on Friday and Monday, the division will probably end up looking even more depleted if the call-ups that I have been guessworking lately happen. And, you know, with the women, you can at least get away with that. For the men, I don't think so, because there's so few people down there right now who are just getting started that getting rid of a group like Hit Row doesn't make any sense. So I never bought into that rumor in the first place, because it's like, okay, these things have to make sense, and they already pulled a bunch of people, you know, without much storyline context. So why would you do that now?
No, that's fair.
It doesn't work. You have to have people there still in NXT 2.0, whatever you want to call it, who are, you know, established enough. And that was the same reason why I didn't really have much of an issue with Ciampa winning the title either, because you have to have someone and something to aspire for. And that the only way you get that done is by having established previously established people still on the roster.
Yeah.
But I'm, like I said, I'm way more focused on, okay, which women are going up and where are they going and what are the women's rosters going to look at? Because I would venture to say that I think, you know, and maybe this is just an insulated take for me, but I am way more fascinated at how they're going to use the women's division for the rest of this year and in 2022 as a whole than pretty much anything that isn't, okay, who's the one taking the belt off of Roman? Those are my two big questions.
Yeah.
And I think that out of pretty much everything that has been going on in WWE, pretty much since the shows started happening both in the Performance Center and the Thunderdome, the big weakness that was exposed in WWE's main roster women's division is the fact that they need a refresh like nothing else on the entire show. They just do. And they not only need a refresh, they need a reboot, and they need to start phasing certain people out and propping certain people back in. And I hate to be cruel. I don't like being mean. The two that come to mind immediately are Natalya and Tamina. Which, thank you, Rhea and Nikki ASH, for rescuing us from what I think was the worst title reign of all time. Of anything. I don't care. At least of the 21st century.
Yeah, it was not great. I'm glad that they finally did the change. It wasn't, you know, maybe to the team that I think it should have been, but, you know.
But here's the argument, because I know you're talking about Shotzi and Tegan.
Yeah.
Okay, you have title belts that truly nobody cares about.
It's true.
Let's be real. I don't want to be mean. Nobody cares about them because of the champions that they have on them, right? They came out to no reaction. Again, let's call a fig a fig. Again, and I don't want to, you know, be too, you know, do too much on this, but they didn't get any reactions. Every time that they wrestled, they were tethering down these, you know, burgeoning talents. The fact that Tegan Nox has, you know, outpaced both Natalya and Tamina, despite basically having, what, three reconstructive knee surgeries at this point in her career?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's embarrassing, and I think there's no way that the people in charge don't realize this either, which made everything more baffling. But the thing is, if they put the titles on Shotzi and Tegan, what are they going to do next?
Well,
because
true.
You have to remember, they're known to you.
Yeah.
They're known to me. They're known to the people who frequent Twitter, of which there are a lot of. But as seen by the differentials in viewership, not a lot of people who watch the main roster would necessarily know immediately who those two are.
No, I mean, they've both been in the Royal Rumble. And,
but that's my thing also. That's one time a year that they were exposed to them, and it was only for a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So you have to... Them, I don't mind that they're taking their time with, because there's no reason to hotshot them. And the thing with Rhea and Nikki is the fact that, as we've seen over the last 2+ years, Nikki Cross is going to get on TV. We've seen that ever since the whole Bliss Cross Applesauce thing started 2 years ago. She's always on TV. And obviously, they have a lot behind Rhea. They gave her the title at WrestleMania within like a month of her debut on the main roster. She's obviously been an important figure on TV. Over Leg Rover, the people in the crowds love her. So putting them on those two, it works. And this is how you rebuild what has been a flailing, quote-unquote, division, but you have Shotzi and Tegan there. If you wanted to keep Carmella and Zelina a unit, I have no problem with that for the record. Keep that going. And if Casey and Kayden get called up, which we haven't seen them since they lost to Io and Zoe, I don't feel like they have a place right now in NXT 2.0, so if they come up, boom, that's four teams. And you know what the thing is also about those teams? Two of them, I can honestly say, have people who I think can just stay in the tag division and that's it. That yep. being Carmella and Zelina and Casey and Kayden. I think Carmella and Zelina especially would benefit by being a heel foil and a heel tag team in that division, because Carmella, yeah, she's a reliable worker as she's proven to be, but putting her in a tag team right now gives her more relevancy and that can propel her up and expand her profile. And that's something that Zelina can also help out with, because they want to have her on TV, but you don't necessarily have to make her a singles worker to do that. Especially when you have, as it's currently constructed, you have a roster that has Toni Storm and Liv Morgan, who are two people who they work well together, but their profiles are way beyond tag wrestling. Yeah, single stars.
That's fair.
Both of them.
Yeah, you know, I think just kind of sticking with the women, I think we'll see Dakota Kai finally get called up.
That's agreed.
Something we've been waiting for since SummerSlam weekend. And you know, I'm not as sure about Io as I was 24 hours ago because she didn't drop the title.
She didn't, but keep in mind, they could. It would be silly, but they could just say, oh, she was selected, so now they have to drop the titles.
I don't... They could. I mean,
they
I
could.
Don't know
it
why
would be...
you wouldn't just have them drop the titles then, but I mean, you know.
Well, I agree, but I'm just saying
feels
that...
Feels like doing a little too much. If you...
that, well, of course it is. Of course it is, but...
But, you know.
I mean, I think that, you know, even if that happened, are we really going to be, you know, worrying that much when pretty much the entire internet has agreed that, you know, well, I shouldn't say the entire, but most of people seem to agree that Io's being anchored down right now?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean... I think another woman who could be interesting is Indy Hartwell. I haven't seen her talked about a whole ton. It just, you know, her storyline has wrapped up here, and, you know, they can keep her down there with Johnny and Candace and keep the Dexter Lumis stuff going, but it wouldn't surprise me if she comes up.
Well, she is currently, and this obviously means nothing, obviously, if she could up, but she is currently scheduled to team up with Lumis against Cora Jade and Trey Baxter next week.
I mean, you know. We'll see what happens there. She could stay down there. I mean, you know, she's young. She can, you know, kind of run that division for a little bit. Yeah, I didn't know, you know, without knowing the specifics of, you know, if Johnny's going to stick around or whatever, that's something that's coming
up. Yeah, of course.
You know, Candace is going to be out of action for a long time. Like, is there something else they have planned for her? Yeah, I think Cameron Grimes is someone who can come up and, I worry about the ceiling for something like that on the main roster, but, you know, it's different from what they're doing, and he's charismatic. And
he can make anything work.
He's also 28, which would make him, I believe, the youngest male competitor on the roster, which is crazy.
It is pretty crazy when you put it that way.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm excited for the draft. Like, I think, you know, Raw has been getting better in the past few weeks. So.
Which is kind of a cruel joke on us all.
Yeah.
That... they're about to reshape the rosters, and we're not going to be able to possibly enjoy it as much.
You know, I guess
even though,
if you...
I think that a lot of the pieces from Raw are going to end up staying, though. To be honest with you, it wouldn't shock me.
I don't see too many shifts going. I think Drew's going to go to SmackDown.
See, you know, I could see it, but I also couldn't see it.
I thought Lashley would go, but now the Hurt Business is back, so that's
kind well. Maybe
of a
they go
mark.
Up to maybe they go over to SmackDown. I mean, you have Lashley Roman in your back pocket.
Yeah, I don't know.
Don't tell me that, you know, you couldn't pull that off even if they're both heels.
I'll be interested.
You could do it.
I'll be interested to see if the Hurt Business is technically a full group that you get, because if it is, that's just, you know, it's a good pick. It's a value pick. You get four guys for
exactly,
one pick.
Exactly,
yeah. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
I think it's going to be good. I mean, I like the draft. I don't know. People always like, don't be like, you know, things will improve after the draft or whatever. You know, that's a trope, but yeah,
Also, I want to just point this out. Please don't be upset if your favorite doesn't get drafted during the telecast. This happens, like, all the friggin' time in sports. So
yeah, I mean...
Don't make any ridiculous assumptions.
You know, I think, like, of the women that are on SmackDown, I think one of Becky and Sasha and Bianca, I know they set up their thing at Extreme Rules, which we'll get into in a little bit. I don't think you can keep all three over there.
Well, you can only keep those three over there if you have one of them be in a spot where they're putting over the forthcoming talent, that being Sasha, because she's obviously on the division right now, she's the most relevant who doesn't have a championship. I know that I would say that at this point she is a step above Bianca in that regard.
Yeah.
That obviously could change, but Bianca would technically be in the title feud, in the title hunt. And Sasha's somebody who can be in that spot and, you know, excel in it to work with the people that they want to put over in the future.
So instead of competing for the title, you want Sasha to put over someone who's coming up? Good luck, pal.
I would say that if she was in that role, I wouldn't be upset. Only because she obviously has been around the title scene for the last year plus.
Yeah.
And if we want to keep things fair, I did say that, you know, going into the I Quit match for Money in the Bank, I did say, and even in the Hell in a Cell, what did I say? I said, after this, do I want to see Bayley compete for the title anymore? No. Because she was around it for almost 2 years. Sasha's been around it for a year, and even if you want to pull the curtain back even further, how long has she been around the title? A while. Things can change. It's okay. Yeah. Because as I keep saying, and as I'll keep reminding everybody that I can, when I get the opportunity to, the sundown is coming on that era.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to prepare themselves for it, because they're going to now have a lot. If the amount of women that I expect to get brought up, just based on pure context clues, the amount of women that are coming up, they can't really afford to not profile them and not focus on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're getting this Queen of the Ring tournament coming up soon, which will be fun. That'll be a good way to showcase it. But keep going.
Yeah, and, you know,
keep going and keep preparing yourself for the departures. And that's why I said, you know, people like Natty and Tamina, no disrespect, phase them off TV. Tamina's been on TV for over 10 years. Natty almost 15.
Yeah.
We don't need to see them. Well, Naomi is like the only exception there just because of where she's at.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you know, even looking back a little further, like, you know, Asuka's out for however long. Maybe she'll be back soon. Bayley's out for till the Rumble.
So neither of them will be picked, by the way.
Yeah, you know, Alexa's out now with some stuff. She's going to take some time off. So, yeah, I mean, you do have to kind of reload the women's division a little bit. They're doing a good job, I think, with Shayna.
Yes.
Shifting her back to, you know, they wanted to take a year and a half or whatever to find out if she could do other stuff.
And she could.
And then realize that it's better to just have her.
No, I think that the year and a half that she had was good for her.
Mm, that's fair.
Because, like you said, it showed that she could do other things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, this is a more interesting way of debuting her like that than what they were doing, because it was just too early what they did with her thing at Elimination Chamber. Now more people know about her.
Well, that's fair.
And she's been in the focus, and now you can turn her back into a killer, because all it takes is one snap of the finger.
Yeah.
And boom.
Just kind of thinking about other people from NXT that could come up. It's tough. I mean,
I could see, I mean, going wild card here, I could see Pete Dunne. He lost the title match.
Yeah.
They're obviously doing the thing with Ciampa and Braun Breaker, so where does Dunne fit in? I don't know. He's feuding with Kyle O'Reilly. He's somebody else who could go up.
Yeah.
I'll take Kyle O'Reilly wrestling in the Intercontinental title division, the U.S. title division. That's fine with me. I don't care about that. I mean, looking elsewhere, like, you know, what's Oney Lorcan doing on NXT?
He lost a match to...
That's what I'm saying. It's Desaian Quinn. Yeah. So, okay, he's putting over young guys, but also you can just do that on the main roster. Just be a hand.
Yeah.
Be a guy. Bring up Ridge Holland with Pete Dunne. Why the hell not? I don't care.
Yeah.
Put Birch with Lorcan on one show, put Holland and Dunne on another. I don't care about if that happens. That sounds fun to me. Even if they wanted to call Gargano up. Awesome. Cool.
Well, I think you don't know how long he's going to be there until this contract thing is figured out.
Again,
he's leaving.
The more you know that they don't care about that kind of stuff. Matt Riddle was re-signed on the day that his contract expired.
Well,
more often than not, they're not concerned about these things because they know these people will resign. Resign, rather.
Yeah. And if they're not going to re-sign, then they get, you know, put through a table or whatever by Riddick Moss.
I really don't understand this, but whatever.
No, it's fine. Again, I don't care what Kevin Owens does. It's just a matter of watching him on a different night of the week. I mean, I'm fine with it. But yeah, I know that's the draft that's coming up. We should get into Extreme Rules, which was last weekend.
Yeah.
Interesting show.
A very interesting show that I think was great. And then the final two matches were also great, but both of them, I think, had questionable endings.
Yeah.
Let's start with the Women's Championship match.
Gone out of order. Interesting.
Yes. Start with the Women's Championship match. Becky faced off with Bianca for the SmackDown Women's title. It was a back-and-forth, hotly contested affair. Bianca and Becky were putting on what I thought was a great show. And then appearing out of nowhere was Sasha Banks, who came out and attacked both ladies, making a claim for a championship that she could not compete for at SummerSlam for reasons.
Yeah.
Reasons of which that we've never really followed up on. I don't expect any follow-up to ever happen
well,
with that.
You know, you put two and two together.
Well,
well, actually, for some people, people would think that that would mean it was COVID. But, I mean, to be honest with you, they would probably announce that if it was COVID, so.
Yeah. Put two and two together and don't put that one as one of your equations there. But, yeah.
Oh boy.
I mean, I don't, you know what the thing is? Like, I thought Becky and Bianca were having a very good match. It just, I don't like a non-finish on a pay-per-view in a big spot like that. And
I don't like the non-finish because you went that long only for a non-finish to happen. If you're going to do a non-finish, make it shorter. Because how long did they go?
They went, what do we got here? Just had it pulled up 17 minutes and 26 seconds.
Yeah, so it's like, see, that's my thing. You can't go 17 minutes and not have a finish.
No, and I mean, it can work once in a while, like if you're setting up something else, like, you know, when they did it, well, I mean, I shouldn't say when they did it at Mind Games with Foley and Michaels, because they never really went back to that, but, you know, Brock and Undertaker did it leading up to the Hell in a Cell match at No Mercy. That is what it is. I don't like it. I mean, I think, you know, pay-per-view matches should have finishes, but, yeah, I don't know. It feels like, and, you know, maybe you don't want to burn through Becky and Bianca this quickly. I mean, they've had two matches now, but, you know, it's still something that could be, you know, a premier match at WrestleMania or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's no...
Yeah, I don't know. She could have just came back, you know, after the match. Or
yeah.
And I guess that's the other thing, too. If you don't want either one to lose clean, first of all, don't do the match. But
yeah, your hands were tied. But your hands were completely tied.
I get it.
So, yeah.
But, you know. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's, it'll be interesting, I guess, to see what they do on SmackDown. I think, you know, Sasha's going to just get right in the title picture. She's not going to do what
it'll probably be
suggested.
It'll probably be a triple threat. They'll probably end up burning through it on Friday, too. So
what's interesting about that, though, maybe, is the next pay-per-view where the women are going to, you know, be able to wrestle.
But,
yeah.
I mean, they're doing the Queen of the Ring, so...
Yeah, well, that's they're not going to have multiple women's matches on the Crown Jewel.
I mean, they're just not.
So it's like, and then the one after that, Survivor Series. So.
But see, the other thing, this is why I was kind of saying, like, okay, it's crowded, but there's somebody, in the equation, there's an odd woman out.
Yeah.
And it's Sasha.
Well, no,
I don't want to, you know, focus on that, but, you know, she's the odd woman out here.
Well, and I was just, like I said, kind of just went through that. As I was talking about it, like, there's not going to be another show versus show pay-per-view that doesn't have any restrictions or anything until TLC. So, either you're going to run a big match on SmackDown, which they might. I mean, they have,
it's possible,
you know,
they've
done
it
before. Couple SmackDowns where they're going to be on Fox Sports 1. They might want to, you know, boost up the ratings there. You know, they have a season premiere coming up, I believe, probably next week or the week after is usually season premiere week. So, they are going to do a big match on TV at some point, but... Will it be this triple threat? Probably not. So how do you get from, you know, there's three people in this now to needing to get to two of them?
That's my concern. It's a timing thing, and that means that all three have to stay on the brand. And
like
given
I said,
the fact
I don't see
that
either.
Given the fact that it's a 2-hour show and the women have it hard enough making the cut on SmackDown as it is, if you're gonna have all three, like I said, one person has to be the one to be fighting with the emerging talents. It's not going to be Becky, and it shouldn't be Bianca.
No, and I think, you know, the best course of action for Sasha would have been to just stay off TV, get drafted to Raw, and then come back.
I mean, they could do the match on Friday really quickly and then have Sasha get drafted to Raw, but at the same time, it's like, okay, what does that do?
Also, the thing about doing it is, you know, we're 25 hours before the show right now and they haven't announced it. That seems like something you'd want to announce. Because...
Has that ever,
you know,
stopped them
Well,
before?
No, but here's the thing. For all of our, you know, issues with Sasha, she is a draw. She's someone that you want to advertise beforehand. So, I don't know. I mean, they're still kind of in a corner from the SummerSlam situation.
Which, again, we still have no answers from. But everyone is just focusing on the booking of that match and rather not why they were put in that spot.
Yeah, and I mean, there are certain things you could be like, you know, don't insist the match is going to happen until it actually gets in the ring. You
but
could have maybe
we don't
not
know why they insisted
day,
on
it. Yeah,
maybe I don't know.
No.
I can't say. I'm not saying. No.
And
we're not getting into this.
No, so it's just like, it's going to be interesting to see. Because, again, I don't think all three of them end up on SmackDown by the end of
God
Monday night. I think they're going to break them up and, you know, I think maybe someone like Asuka or Charlotte will jump over.
Charlotte going over does nothing for that either.
Yeah, I mean,
that's the problem. See, this is why I was saying they need a reboot.
Yeah,
they need a reboot. They need to use other people, because honestly, you keep saying these things, and it's like, I get it. They're established, but like, we're going on 2022. Some of these old faces, they need to depart.
Well,
and I'm not counting Becky in here because she's number one with a bullet.
And here's a bit of an issue where you only, you know, have the four women and Alexa and Asuka kind of matter for the last 5 years. Well,
but that's fine if you have the means to move forward, and they do now.
Well,
they absolutely do. That can't be denied.
Here's the thing, though, too. Like, you remember how the NHL focused only on the Blackhawks and Kings for, like, 10 years, and then the Blackhawks and Kings got bad, and now a lot of people just don't care about the NHL
anymore? Oh, that's the NHL's problem to fix. What am I supposed to care about?
Well, no, it's similar to this, where, you know,
you
put all your eggs
And guess what? That investment paid off for them.
Well, and it paid off for the NHL, too, but now you're on the other side
right.
of it, where...
But they're in more of a capable position because those people are still around there, they're still relevant, they're still wildly popular, but eventually you just have to, like I said, the sundown.
Yeah.
It's gonna happen soon.
Yeah.
Sooner than a lot of people think or wanna think.
Yeah. And that's gonna be interesting when that comes, because, you know,
of course.
But
they have enough capable people there to hold the mantle.
Well, and I think too, just kind of based on how things are right now, there will be some women in particular from AEW that would be willing to jump and, you know, kind of see
if that's how things that's are possible
so
too.
That's something
yeah.
that we're gonna have
that's
to keep in
something
mind
also.
As well.
Yeah,
going forward,
I completely agree. And I mean, like I said, like you've got the names. You've got Bianca, you've got Rhea. This is just counting people that have been called up in the last like year. You've got those two. You've got Tony. You have something in Liv. Obviously, maybe I don't agree with where people have her place, but she's obviously extremely popular, so I'm not going to deny her of that. You have Shotzi. You have Tegan, both of which I think can see success both as tag wrestlers and singles wrestlers as well. You have Io Shirai in your back pocket if and when you want to use her and call her up. Dakota Kai is still young, still has plenty of mileage left on her tires. You can do something with her. The pieces are there. They just have to use them.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that was our recap of Becky against Bianca from Extreme Rules.
Yes. Basically, the gist of it was we basically just agreed that the ending was just kind of...
You know, before we get in the title match, we don't have to talk about every match on this card. You know, New Day against Lashley and Styles and Omos was very good.
Very good.
You know, they had me with the Charlotte and Alexa stuff until,
yes.
like, the last minute.
Yes.
And then the entire post-match. Like, ideally, you know, you would announce Alexa's hometown when she's wrestling in her hometown. It's probably something I would have done.
That was, yeah, I'm surprised Mike... I wonder if that was Mike Rome, like, doing
but,
a bit.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, throwing Lily and then having that be the finish, which and then you know, just kind of sticking on Alexa for like
but
five
again,
whole minutes to have a friggin' meltdown in front of her friends and family. I don't know.
But did it work? Yes, it did. Because what were the fans chanting?
Well, they were
chanting "Thank you for a freaking doll."
They were.
Which again, I would just like to say, do not ever deny this woman to me ever again, ever. Do not try to deny Alexa Bliss to me ever. E-V-E-R.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care who you are. You've lost this war. Okay? You've lost the war. Anyone who's denying her or thinks that she's bad or whatever the hell, I'm sorry. You've lost the war.
I do
because
hope,
she got a freaking doll over.
I do hope that when she comes back, they pivot away from this. I think it's run its course. It's been fine. I think she can get back to,
nope.
you know.
Nope. Lily Mask coming.
Yeah, you're...
She's going to get more
terrifying.
I'm telling you, she's descending into the madness now. Because she has to feel she has to represent Lily now.
You know,
that's what's going to happen.
Holding out for my Becky against Alexa program.
I mean, maybe that happens one day, maybe it doesn't. But guess what? Your girl knows character work. She'll be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
I know it. Because again, she's killed everything that's ever been put in front of her. Everything. That's why, again, she is unfreaking deniable.
Yeah.
She's been that woman since she was called up 5 years ago. Do not deny her.
I don't remember a lot of Priest and Hardy against, or Priest against Sheamus and Hardy.
Really good match.
Sure it was good.
Really good.
I mean,
really good. Priest is a guy that they have not missed with at all whatsoever. He has one loss since his call-up, and it was a schmoz finish in a handicap match against Miz and Morrison. One loss. Yeah. That's it. They are getting that dude right. And the ensuing night, the no DQ match against Sheamus, a great way to put him over on his way out. Sheamus, unfortunately, broke his nose again, so he had to get surgery again on it.
Yeah.
Priest is a guy who I think, talking about the draft, I would put him on SmackDown. And I would put Knock on Raw.
Yeah.
United States title hasn't been on SmackDown since before the 2019 Superstar Shakeup.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise with the IC title on Raw. I would not mind that at all whatsoever, especially to increase the profile of the IC title and give it longer matches with the three-hour show. And Priest is someone you want to have rub shoulders with on the big show, too.
Yeah. So just real quick about the King and Queen of the Ring stuff. It's kind of weird they haven't officially announced it yet.
It'll probably come this week.
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like that Fox show was going to kind of be more of them announcing it, but it's going to be the top 10 Kings of the Ring, apparently.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So Roman against Finn.
And see, this also further endorsed my feeling on the Sasha intervention or whatever for that match, because, like, you had two great matches, and after a long time, you decided to do schmoz finishes with them.
Yeah, I mean, because that's the thing. Like, Roman against Finn was another match that was very good for most, even if you didn't like, you know, the stuff at the end when he was...
Well, crowd popped. I don't care what the internet says. The crowd popped. It worked. It was working for me. I thought Finn was going to win.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, and, you know, I assume they'll address it on SmackDown. I hope they'll address it on SmackDown why, you know, the top rope just kind of broke and then suddenly his music stopped and it looked like he blew his knee out and then he got speared. Yeah, I don't know. Like, and I like Roman a lot. You know, don't get me wrong. But it is getting tougher to kind of get a list of guys who are actually going to beat him, which might not be ideal. You know, you'd like to have some guys in mind that are at least credible.
Well, see, this is the problem of... They right now, I think... This might be a scorching hot take. They right now are kind of paying for the fact that NXT didn't siphon a lot of guys out.
Yeah.
And by that, I legitimately mean the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
This might be an even more glaring problem than the one with the women, because at least the women are easier to pull this off with, even if you wait, because the divisions are smaller and the segments are, you know, by design, shorter, so there's less wiggle room there. So if they want to do something with a woman, they can do that pretty easily. With the men, it takes more time. And they haven't been able to get new faces in there who can help boost everyone's profile and to boost themselves up in order to be in contention. And I don't think that it was wrong of them to book Drew like they did, because he's a star, obviously. And anybody who tries to deny Drew McIntyre is a big deal. Please, don't speak to me. Just don't. And, you know, you have Big E, who obviously worked. But beyond that, it's like, okay, where are we going? Because we obviously don't have Bryan anymore. Edge was never going to happen. Cena, never going to happen. You did the Finn stuff the last month. That didn't happen. So now it's like, okay, you could do Drew. I wouldn't mind that. But honestly, to a degree, I think that would almost be lazy for both of them.
Yeah. No, I would agree with that. Yeah.
But yeah, this is what I think. This is pretty much them being in the spot where, oh shit, we don't have a lot of men's dudes that we can really put our, you know, weight into. And yes, there is one person who's been up and is popular, but to the internet, it's very toxic, that being Matt Riddle, who I think if you can't ignore everything with him, but obviously he's going to be primed for something.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Because they're putting a lot of weight into him, and they're basically positioning him like 2000 Kurt Angle.
Yeah. I mean, I'm concerned that they're going to have Brock be the guy to beat Roman. They should not do that.
I don't think they're going to. Not a good idea. I really don't.
You know, let Brock do some non-title stuff. It was very good in 2015. Yeah, I mean, I don't. All in all, Extreme Rules was fine. Again, I think the last two matches didn't end great. But, you know, what are you going to do, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, what are you going to do?
Yes. Speaking of matches that were great, you were at Dynamite Grand Slam.
I sure was.
Kenny Omega and Brian Danielson have a 30-minute time limit draw, which I thought was the right decision there.
Yeah, because, you know, it would have been bad for Brian to lose his first match, but it also would have been bad for Kenny to lose that spot, too. And I think one was worse than the other. So coming to a draw wasn't that bad of a decision. Nobody likes to see a draw, but it happened on TV at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, that was excellent, you know.
I mean, it's the best AEW match so far, in my opinion.
I would agree.
And I'm glad that I was able to see it.
Yeah. How was the experience overall? I heard the venue was not doing great for
an
event of that magnitude.
I'm gonna take the heat off of the workers who were working the concessions. We're in a pretty shitty time, so I'm not gonna be too hard on them. Lines were pretty long for concessions. I don't know why that was. I don't know if they were just understaffed for reasons that might be related to, you know, COVID protocols and other things that people are out there working hard to get better for themselves and be treated better. But the parking situation, whether or not that's related to any of that, was probably the worst parking experience I've ever had with anything in my entire life. There was hardly any signage, hardly any lights really lit up. But I mean, yeah, we were able to, you know, get from point A to point B and point B to point A, but like, if they're going to do that again, I think they need to come up with a better plan than having one parking lot be like a mile and a half from the venue over by the marina, which is past Citi Field. And if the Mets aren't playing a game, which they weren't, they were in Boston, maybe try to work out a deal with the Mets to use the Citi Field parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Just a thought.
Yeah, that'd be a good
and
idea.
Have, you know, better signage to point people to shuttles. Because we saw shuttles, we had no idea where they were.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my only really big critique of the entire night.
You got to see a very good Sting match. That was good. Love to see that. Sting is great.
Sting couldn't really even get an inch off of his jump.
It doesn't matter. He's fine. Let him be.
God. He had trouble getting off the guardrail, too, yesterday.
Yeah, he's fine. Leave Sting alone. you know, Britt Baker and Ruby Soho, I don't think ever hit the second gear. It was kind of strange.
I love Britt, but she doesn't have it like that.
Well, here's the thing about Britt.
She doesn't have it like that in the ring yet. And that's okay.
She also has a broken wrist, which I think you have forgotten.
That might be true, but this stuff was happening before that. Mm. Also, the match with Nyla wasn't anything special.
Well, I don't know how much of that is Britt's fault.
But still, I mean, you know, that wasn't anything special. The Chris match, the Statlander match at All Out was...
It was good.
Yeah, it was
I liked it.
It was dull. That never left first gear either.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, I get why Britt is in the spot that she's in. She's wonderful, but she doesn't have it yet in the ring. That's fine. But she doesn't got it like that. That finish legitimately disappointed me.
Yeah, that's fair.
There was no drama at all whatsoever.
You did not stay for Rampage because you're a coward.
I certainly did not. A coward? Yeah, I talked about the parking situation. Wanted me to be there until 4 a.m.?
Well, you know. CM Punk looked good. Power of Thobs looked good. You know, the main event was fun. It's cool to see Homicide on a big stage in New York.
I think too bad that the crowd had no juice for him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, by the way, I think everyone was wrong about Adam Cole not being the guy anymore. He still is.
He's not positioned like one.
Yeah. I mean, he's in a tag team.
Adam Cole, solo wrestler, left to be in a tag team.
He was in a tag team for the past, you know, 3 years.
He was not. He was a faction leader. He was not in a tag team.
They're in a faction now.
Is he the leader? Is he that guy? No, he's not. He not right now. He's not.
He cuts all the promos for him.
Okay, I mean, but again, is he that guy? No. Kenny is that guy.
But yes, that was Grand Slam. What else happened this week? 2 weeks, whatever. The Royal Rumble is coming to St. Louis, Missouri. The Edward Jones Dome.
Fuck yes.
Not called the Edward Jones Dome. But,
don't care. Trans World Dome.
Yeah.
TWA Dome.
Very excited for that. It's going to be great. Have a big 15 minutes from my home. Not have to fly. Not have to get a hotel. Also, it's on Saturday. So,
just the best combination of things to happen to us.
Yeah.
We are thriving. We can't wait till when do tickets go on sale?
October 15th.
Okay, so we have time. At least that's the day I get paid, so hey.
Yeah, hell yeah. Impact's announcing a new championship tonight.
Oh, joy.
That should be interesting, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, let's see. Anything else happen? I don't believe so.
I don't believe so. Not that I can really think of.
No, there hasn't really been a ton of stuff.
There hasn't really been a lot of wrestling news, no.
I don't think anything really happened on Raw. You know, they've started to do the main event to open the show and then get it canceled and then do the main event in the main event spot, which, whatever.
Well, you want to hook people in while you can for the first 15 or 20 minutes of the show and then do a fun thing at the end.
I would probably not do the exact same match, but, you know, they added a cage.
That's not the first time that that's happened before.
No, I'm just letting you know.
It's definitely not the last either.
All right.
Well, they had to do what they had to do with Cowboys Eagles being on Monday. So,
yeah.
What's the next Monday? What's Monday Night Football next week?
I believe it's the Raiders and the Chargers. That sounds right.
That could be decent.
Yeah, you know the thing about Monday Night Football.
There's no Manning cast for it though. It's not until week 7.
The thing about Monday Night Football is they can flex games now finally after years. So there's going to be a lot of
weird,
good
still
games.
Very very weird to do. I'm sorry, it just is.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, so I mean that's the thing that WWE's going to go up against strong competition in that regard, and they're just going to have to deal with it.
I mean, they take their losses every freaking. They've taken their losses on Monday nights dating back to 1993.
Yeah,
that's just what they do. They never beat Monday Night Football in the ratings.
Yeah, that's true. All right,
it's football. Like football is so ingrained in our culture, it's not even funny.
All right, let's see. We probably go back to 2005 now.
Yes.
Because we have 2 weeks again. Not going to have 2 weeks next week because we have Raw Homecoming, which is a 3-hour program, and pay-per-view, it's another 3-hour program, so
yeah.
Should probably go out of my way to watch those as soon as possible.
I wonder how Raw Homecoming is going to come across.
I remember liking it very much. I have not watched it since
2005. And you know what debuts next week, too.
Yes, the new Signature.
The new Signature. Hell yeah.
I forgot that. I forgot that, and then I watched SmackDown for this week, and it auto-played the next one, and yep.
Yeah, can't wait.
That'll be good.
Can't wait.
All right, 2005.
Yes, 2005.
Raw is September 19th.
September 19th in the home of Keith Lee, Wichita Falls, Texas.
Yes.
So let's just get this out of the way first. Top 5 songs in America, Lose Control, drop to number 5. Like You, Bow Wow featuring Ciara went up to number 4. We Belong Together went up to number 3 after being number 4 last week. Shake It Off by Mariah Carey is at number 2 and still holding strong at number 1. Kanye West featuring Jamie Foxx with Gold Digger. The top 5 movies in America. Debuting at number 5 was Cry Wolf. I forgot about that movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time I've heard that movie's name in quite some time. The 40-Year-Old Virgin went from 2 to number 4, making $7.8 million. Cry Wolf, by the way, made $5.265 million, I believe that says. Lord of War made $12.3 million at number 3. The Exorcism of Emily Rose dropped down to number 2, making over $18 million, and making over $20 million in its first week at the box office was Just Like Heaven by DreamWorks Productions.
Yeah.
I forgot about that movie as well.
There we go.
Who was in Just Like Heaven?
Yeah, I don't know.
Just Like Heaven had Reese Witherspoon, Mark Ruffalo, and John Heder.
No, oh, there you go.
Heder. How do you pronounce his last name?
I think it's either one.
Yeah. I forgot about that movie entirely.
All right, let's see.
And then, so we had a rare double dip of Monday Night Football. This only happened, though, because of the Saints' displacement due to the effects of Hurricane Katrina. And the game was a home game for them at the Meadowlands against the Giants. They, however, did not come up victorious. The Giants won 27-10 to improve to 2-0 on the year. Brandon Jacobs and Tiki Barber all starred and got touchdowns. Tiki with 2, Brandon Jacobs with 1 to start off the scoring. And Joe Horn scored the only touchdown from the Saints on a 21-yard reception from Aaron Brooks in the second quarter. Also, on Monday night, there was a game between the Dallas Cowboys and Washington. This game was very historic because it was the night of the Monday Night Miracle. The Monday Night Miracle, of course, being when the football team in Landover, Maryland, scored two touchdowns. Both went to Santana Moss within a minute of each other, late in the fourth quarter. So Mark Brunell and Santana Moss engineered some magic to help defeat Dallas at Texas Stadium with a wild win. One that, this is a very memorable game and a very memorable finish.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like what happened here as well is Dallas got the ball back in Washington territory and just couldn't do anything with it.
They couldn't.
Washington got
it back, and Brunell just uncorked one. It was a 70-yard touchdown for them to take the lead. Like I said, one of the more memorable games of the 05 season end of Monday Night Football history in its final year on ABC.
Yes. All right. So, meanwhile, in Wichita Falls, Eric Bischoff comes out to open the show. He's got the old WWE title and his Kurt Angle nameplate on it.
I wish they wouldn't tease us with that. Just rude. We've had that happen twice this year.
Yeah. Yeah, in hindsight, the spinner belt's not good.
The spinner belt's weird because it's amazing that it's stuck around for as long as it did.
Yes. Bischoff has an announcement. I love that WWE title, by the way. We have one in the basement.
We do.
On the belt wall.
Mm-hmm.
Eric has an announcement. Before he makes it, he'd like WWE's only Olympic gold medalist, Kurt Angle, to come out. John Cena showed a blatant disregard for the rules and the authority last night. One of the best parts being general manager is Eric can do something about it, so he's going to strip Cena of the title. And the new WWE champion is going to be Kurt Angle, but Vince comes out before Eric can make his announcement.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric thought Vince would be there later tonight, and Kurt said Vince is probably just coming out to congratulate him for beating John Cena. And then Vince does that, says that... Kurt says that as the new WWE champion, he'll represent the company with the three eyes and be a hero everyone can look up to. And Vince tells him that he's, not WWE champion. Eric doesn't have that power. Vince says that pinfall only changes the title only changes hands on pinfall or submission. Bischoff says that Cena physically attacked him, but Vince doesn't really care. Angle beats Cena with disqualification, so Cena's still the champion. Vince will get back to Cena in a moment, but first he has an announcement to make. 2 weeks from tonight, the biggest night in Raw history, WWE Homecoming is planned for Raw's return to the USA Network. We'll see Mick Foley, Triple H is back, Hulk Hogan's going to show up.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Stone Cold will be there. And John Cena will put the title on the line against Eric Bischoff. Eric is pleading with Vince backstage to cancel the match, and Vince tells him that he can do his karate stuff and he'll be fine. And then we move into our first match of the evening, Torrie Wilson against Trish Stratus. Torrie rolls Trish up, but Trish kicks out at two, and Torrie complains to Candice and Victoria outside the ring. And while she's complaining, Trish rolls her up and gets the win.
Yep.
And then, Candice and Victoria come in, start brawling with Trish and Ashley, and the heels get the upper hand.
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. We get a match between, future NWA World Heavyweight Champion Trevor Murdoch against the Hurricane. Hurricane wanted revenge for losing his title and almost getting his neck broken.
Mm-hmm.
Hurricane's injury from last night was too much to overcome, however, and Murdoch got the win with a DDT.
Yes. Todd Grisham's with Carlito. Carlito said he didn't tap out last night. He was reaching for the ropes and his hand accidentally slipped. Ric Flair did not win. Tonight, Carlito will take his title back.
Indeed. And then Edge was mad at Eric Bischoff because Matt Hardy went too far last night and needs to be fired again. He demanded it, but Eric told him that he's not the only one with problems, so don't come in here making demands. He's tired of Matt and Edge constantly fighting on Raw. So at WWE Homecoming, Edge will face Matt Hardy in a Loser Leaves Raw match, but it's going to be a ladder match, and Edge is confused until he finds out that his Money in the Bank contract is going to be on the line.
Yeah.
One of the few times that the Money in the Bank contract has actually been up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
Something I wish that they would do more, but that's just me.
Tyson Tomko squashes a jobber. They're trying to get him back over as a guy.
It's good not luck
work.
With that.
It'll work when he goes to TNA. So, for a little bit. Ric Flair against Carlito for the Intercontinental title. Fine match. Flair does the figure four and uses the ropes and gets Carlito to tap out.
And Todd Grisham was backstage with Matt Hardy. Matt said that this isn't over yet because they're in an 8-man tag tonight. And then in 2 weeks, they'll have the ladder match. Michaels comes over since everybody's talking about Matt and Edge, but they're also talking about Michaels and Chris Masters. But Big Show says people are talking about him. Cena comes up and then brings them all together, and they say they'll get the win over Snitsky, Edge, Chris Masters, and Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Quite the quartet there.
Yes.
Maria interviewed Ric Flair. Carlito came up, ambushed him, and Masters put him in the master lock. Carlito kicked him down, spat in his face. Arguably too little punishment.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, Flair's going to keep feuding with these guys, but he's not.
No. So we get our 8-man tag of Angle, Snitsky, Edge, Masters against Cena, Big Show, Matt Hardy, and Shawn Michaels. You know, they did 8-man tags and 6-man tags pretty well back then, and this still holds true right here.
Yeah. No, I like...
For who was involved and what this was a good match.
I like big, chaotic tag matches. Yeah, it's good stuff. Michaels and Angle both get the hot tag, and they do their thing for a little bit, and that'll be important to remember, because, you know. Angle does an Angle Slam from inside the ring to outside the ring on Big Show. So it kind of becomes a four-on-four brawl in the ring, and then Big Show throws Matt Hardy at all the heels outside, and Big Show gets the win with a choke slam on Edge, and all four faces cover him for the win. That was good. Good match.
It was. It was a good match. It was indeed a good match. Now let's move to SmackDown.
Yes.
SmackDown from Lubbock, so they're at Texas Tech University.
Yeah. That was September 23rd, 2005. We open with Christian against Booker T. Christian goes for a pin with his feet on the ropes, but Charmel tells the ref, and then Christian goes for the Unprettier a little later, and Charmel grabs his leg and allows Booker to roll him up for the win.
Indeed. And so afterwards, Eddie Guerrero was in the back and seemed to have a stomach ache and might not be able to team with Batista tonight against Eminem, but he's going to power through and do the best that he can.
That's nice.
It is.
Jillian Hall's in the ring. She introduces Texas's own JBL, who comes out on a horse. coming back to Texas really makes him remember how far he's come. You know, they all agree how great New York City is. The women, the money, everything. But Texas is great, too, because they can claim the birthplace of JBL. JBL's a wrestling god. Hide and Rank and Animals, squash from jobbers.
Yep.
You know.
Sylvain said Christine and Stacy are hogging the mirror and they look like trash. Hardcore Holly told him to knock it off and said that he needs a black eye to go with his attire. And they're going to have a match.
Yeah.
And they do. And Sylvain left the match like a coward and loses via countout like a coward. Theodore Long told Batista that Eddie Guerrero was sick with food poisoning and he doesn't know if Eddie's going to make it for their match tonight. Oh, no. Randy and Cowboy Bob Orton then held a funeral for The Undertaker, with their Undertaker dummy from last week still in the casket, except this is the real Undertaker and not a dummy. But Orton and obviously Cowboy Bob were dummies to think it was a dummy. Cowboy Bob had no idea. Taker got up, threw Randy into the casket, and Randy and Bob retreated.
Yeah.
I just had to get that joke in, I'm sorry.
No, it was good. We get Ken Kennedy against Rey Mysterio. Kennedy takes out Tony Chumel after Tony Chumel does the ring introduction. Then Kennedy does it himself. Rey goes up to the top rope, but JBL comes back out on his horse, and Kennedy hits the Green Bay Plunge for the win.
And that is another world champion that Ken Kennedy has defeated.
Yeah.
Or future world champion.
Also, we're building to a Rey against JBL feud, which is also JBL's final feud 3 years from now.
Exactly.
So... I mean, he also kind of stopped
wrestling. Well, no, because he does have a feud in 06.
Yeah, but I thought, doesn't he face Rey for the title at WrestleMania?
He faced him at, I know
24, I believe it is.
25.
Yeah.
It was the one I was
It's
at.
One of JBL's last matches.
Yeah. 25 is one of his last matches, yeah.
Yeah, because his match with Rey at WrestleMania is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's his last match. Rey beats him for the title at WrestleMania 25.
Yeah, I was there, I know.
Yep. But he does do commentary for a good portion of the next year.
Yeah.
ECW is coming, and, you know, Taz goes over there, and a lot going on next
year.
Charmel says that Kennedy was right last week. Why doesn't Booker ever get a U.S. title shot? You know, that's a good question.
No, that's a good question.
We're about to venture into a reboot from WCW to get the answer to that question.
We certainly
are. There's a doctor and a nurse trying to figure out what's wrong with Eddie Guerrero. They can't seem to find anything, and it seems like he's faking. Simon Dean comes out. He's on SmackDown now. He comes out and issues an open challenge tonight to anybody. And we get the debut of Bobby Lashley.
We do.
Who you may know as the Almighty.
Yes.
Former WWE champion, though not at this time.
Blaster Lashley.
Yeah, you know, they made Lashley a big deal.
They did.
From the very beginning. And,
it's very easy to see.
Yeah. He does some push-ups with Simon Dean on his back, and then just kind of gets up and picks up the win. And,
yep.
Yeah, Lashley's very good.
Yes, he is.
I think maybe he would have been better off on Raw at this point, just because Raw is not great at the moment. But
I agree. I agree. But you already have one big guy in Big Show there, too. So you eventually need to set up a confrontation in 2 months.
Yeah. Chris Benoit's in action against Orlando Jordan for the United States Championship. Benoit wins in 50 seconds. You see, the joke is that at SummerSlam, Benoit won in 23 seconds. I don't know if you've picked up on that over the past few weeks.
Really? Interesting.
That's the joke, which kind of makes the thing that happens on the next SmackDown very confusing.
It does.
But, we'll get to that in a moment. So we get Eminem against Batista and Eddie Guerrero. Eddie slowly comes out at the start of the match, still not feeling well. Batista does all the work, and then Eddie tags himself in and hits a frog splash for the win. again, I like what they're doing here, because it's like Eddie's very clearly being disingenuous about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a great job with it, and I'm excited for their title match, which we're going to watch
next week.
Yes. And then we'll be very sad after, but...
Yes, we will.
We got a little bit of time before that, at least.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the first week.
It is. So, a couple of sports nuggets that happened over the course of the week. Looking over here, the Sacramento Monarchs won Game 4 of the WNBA Finals over the Connecticut Sun to win their first WNBA title. Yolanda Griffin was named series MVP. And Chicago's WNBA franchise, which will begin playing next year, will be known as the Sky.
Yeah, they're playing the Connecticut Sun in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Really?
Right now. Yeah, they're up 1-0.
That's kind of hilarious.
They might be going to the title game.
Interesting. And then NBA Commissioner David Stern announced the New Orleans Hornets, displaced by Hurricane Katrina, will play 35 of their 41 regular season games in 05-06, plus any home playoff games at the Ford Center in OKC. The remaining six will take place at the PMAC on LSU's campus in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that move to OKC kind of...
Spawns
being like, oh, we need a basketball team here.
Clay Bennett appears and becomes the villain of the city of Seattle forever.
Hey, you know what? Good for Seattle, though. They might get their baseball team back in the playoffs.
You know, I'm rooting for the Mariners. I don't care. Good for them. Seriously.
I watched a little bit last night, and just the crowd is super into it.
Oh, yeah. I mean they said today that they, I think, or yesterday, that they've gotten like a surge in ticket price, purchases.
Good for them. They did this a couple years ago where they were in it till last weekend, and then it all blew up for them. So I hope this year it doesn't blow up for them.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Let's see here. So, on that Sunday, let's see. So, again, this is as of that Sunday. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays 8-4. The Red Sox defeated the Orioles 9-3. They remain tied in the AL East with 7 games to play. An intense finish is looming. The White Sox moved 2.5 games up on the Indians, whose lead over New York and Boston in the wild card race dropped to a half game. Let's see. And other than that, no one really was falling here, though Houston's lead in the NL wildcard race fell to 1 game after losing to the Cubs 3-2.
Well, they'll be okay.
NFL Week 3. Actually, let me talk about CFB first. What am I doing here? Some important happenings that happened this week. Florida beat Tennessee in a top 10 matchup. Florida was ranked number 6, and Tennessee was ranked number 5. Florida won 16-7 at the Swamp. This game is important historically because it begins a stretch for Florida where since this game, they've only lost once to Tennessee. That was in 2016. This game is the tipping point in this rivalry, so to speak, because believe it or not, Florida had a losing record against Tennessee, and then they flipped it, and now they're like 11 games over 500 against them.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, they completely just took off in this quote-unquote rivalry.
Well, it's funny, too, because, I mean, like, aside from the Urban Meyer years, Florida hasn't, like, been an elite type.
No, they really haven't.
A couple years they've been fine, but, they were beatable
Like the Jim McElwain era, the Will Muschamp era.
Yeah, most of the 2010s, they were a beatable team. I mean, Tennessee, after Phil Fulmer... has been kind
dwindling,
of,
yeah.
Yeah, they haven't had a really good coach at all.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be honest about that. It's okay. Let's see. Miami defeated Clemson 36-30. Oh, that was from September 17th, actually. So let me see. I'm doing this wrong then. That was the wrong weekend. Anyways, let me fly through here just to see Arizona State beat Oregon State 42-24. Aforementioned Florida beat Kentucky 49-28. Georgia beat Mississippi State 23-10 in Starkville. Let's see. Michigan State put up 61 points on Illinois in 2005. My God. Who was on that team? Jeez. USC defeated Oregon in Eugene 45-13. Mm-hmm. Not surprisingly. I mean, the Ducks were the Ducks back then, but USC obviously was USC. Reggie Bush had a couple touchdowns. So did Lendale White. So did Dwayne Jarrett. Their usual cast of characters from that era were putting on a show. And let's see. LSU lost 30-27 to Tennessee, who was ranked number 10 after they lost to Florida that previous week. This game was won in overtime on a one-yard run by Gerald Riggs Jr. There's a throwback fire song. My God.
Yep.
Woo! All right. The NFL notables. Patriots defeated the Steelers 23-20 in a rematch of the AFC Championship game at Heinz Field. Adam Vinatieri kicked a game-winning field goal with 1 second left. I'm sure that's so surprising. The Eagles beat the Raiders 23-20. Despite having a hamstring injury, David Akers kicked a game-winning field goal from 23 yards out. A lot of dramatic finishes.
Yep.
Let's see. The Jaguars beat the Jets in OT. Byron Leftwich outdueled fellow Marshall University quarterback Chad Pennington and threw a 36-yard touchdown pass to Jimmy Smith 5 minutes and 12 seconds into overtime to win it for Jacksonville.
Is that Jimmy Smith from WWE Monday Night Raw?
No, it is not. The Colts beat the Browns 13-6. The Bucks beat the Packers 17-16. The difference came when Ryan Longwell missed an extra point after a touchdown, ending his streak of 157 PATs made.
I forgot Longwell was on the Packers. I only remember him in Minnesota.
He was.
He was on the Packers for a long time,
too. He was. Yeah, he was. Cowboys came back from down 12 at Monster Park in San Francisco to beat the 49ers 34-31. Keyshawn Johnson caught the go-ahead score with 151 remaining from Drew Bledsoe. Let's see. Lance Schulters intercepted Jake Delhomme late in the fourth quarter to set up a game winner from Orlando Mare to help the Dolphins over the Panthers 27-24. Let's see. The Bengals improved to 3-0 for the first time since 1990 as they intercepted Kyle Orton 5 times.
Yeah.
In a 24-7 victory over the Bears.
That sounds right.
And the Chargers beat the Giants 45-23. This of course was Eli's first game in San Diego since the I'm not playing for the Chargers deal happened in the draft the year before.
Yes.
Okay. That's sports. Let's get to Raw. We talked about more sports beforehand.
Yes. Well, I mean, get to Raw. We have a handful of other news things that we need to talk about first.
Yes.
But yeah, go ahead. You want to do the music real quick here?
Yeah, I will do the music here. Music is much of the same. We Belong Together dropped all the way down to number 5. My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas jumped up to number 4. Like You jumped to number 3. 1 and 2 remain the same, Gold Digger and Shake It Off. Top 5 movies in America. Number 5 debuting was Roll Bounce. Number 4 was The Exorcism of Emily Rose. Number 3 was Just Like Heaven. Number 2 was Corpse Bride, which jumped up from 23 to 2. I guess
must have like a limited release, and then it got a bigger one, I would imagine.
That's what I would imagine. Yeah, that had to have been the case. People were just feeling early Halloween fever.
Yeah.
A month before. And number 1 at 31.1 million was Flight Plan. I don't remember that movie.
Yeah, it's dumb. Like,
oh, Jesus, now I remember. Yeah, with Jodie Foster.
Like the American Dad where they're on the plane and,
yes.
Yeah, it's basically that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Okay. So we had our Monday Night Football game of the week was Chiefs at the Broncos. And the Broncos beat up on the Chiefs 30-10. They were hardly challenged because they put up 17 points in the first quarter. I'm seeing Mike Anderson on here with a 44-yard run. Rod Smith with a 12-yard touchdown from Jake Plummer. A 1-yard run by Jake Plummer into the end zone. And a 21-yard reception from Sammy Parker who scored the only touchdown of the game for the Chiefs. And do you know what I have to say to that? Go Ducks.
Yeah.
Because I believe Sammy Parker went to Oregon.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Let me just make sure. Yes, he did.
Okay.
Yeah, go Ducks.
All right. So we do have a couple of wrestling-related things from the Torch this week. It seems like WWE and Spike TV had an agreement that WWE wouldn't really talk about the USA Network. But, you know, when you're promoting a big show and you're not allowed to say what network it's on, you kind of just do it because what are they going to do about it? So, you know, Vince did it in his opening promo, which we'll talk about in a little bit, and they censored it. And then, you know, King and Coach made a point to say you can go to WWE.com to hear what's been censored. And then the last 5 minutes of the show, they say USA Network like 20 different times.
Yeah. So
I don't think Spike was particularly happy, but I mean, again, it's the last night of your deal. Who cares?
Yeah, like, exactly.
I mean, there's a reason that WWE has not left the USA Network since then and probably never will, I wouldn't imagine. I would like to go back someday to like the 2000 stuff and see why they moved in the first place, because I can't imagine USA Network would have... really wanted them to leave in 2000. They were doing very well, so it's strange.
Yeah, it is.
You know? So, yeah, that's happening there. Another big news piece this week. The WWE released a DVD called The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. We watched and talked about it. Was that earlier this spring, I believe, this summer?
Yes.
They invited him to come on Bite This and defend himself. He said some really messed up things about Josh Matthews and Draws in denying their invitation.
Yes.
And yeah, it's very strange that this all just kind of got forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know he died, but like...
Yeah.
An important thing we need to do is just because someone dies doesn't mean that we need to speak glowingly about them.
If they were a shit person, you can speak ill of them if they're dead. What are they going to do? They can't fight you.
Exactly.
I mean, seriously, the dead can't fight you, so what are you so concerned about what they think?
And that's
they're
also,
dead.
And that's something that is going to pop up a lot in the next few years, I think, just as, you know, more people we know that they're bad people end up dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then our other news piece, Mohammed Hassan, Mark Copani, and WWE have parted ways. You know, they sent him back to OVW, kind of hoping that they could get something else to work for him, but it was just kind of... Writing was on the wall. It seems like he's found peace. I believe he's a middle school principal in Syracuse.
Yes. And
I think he wrestled for the first time last year.
He did an
indie show, but he seems happy just being an educator, which, hey, more power to him.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
You know, it's not your fault this thing didn't work out. You were a victim of your circumstance. I mean, and it's interesting because they're going to keep Daivari around.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So we can get into Raw. September 27th, 2005, from Waco, probably on the campus of Baylor University. Vince McMahon's here to open the show and start Raw with a championship match, but tonight is historic because it's the last Raw on Spike TV. So this is the other weird thing. Like, Vince publicly thanks them and says, you know, their partnership was great and all that, but next week, you know, they're going back to USA Network. So if you're Spike, I mean, they're kind of being dipshits about this. Like, again, they need to be able to promote where their show is going to be next week.
Yeah, exactly.
Vince starts talking about what's planned for next week, and Kurt Angle comes out to interrupt. Kurt's mad that Vince gave Eric Bischoff a title match next week and not him. Kurt deserves a shot. He won it Unforgiven. He wants to face the winner of next week's match. Shawn Michaels comes out and says that he won it Unforgiven, so he'd also like a title match. Kurt says that he beat Shawn at Mania, and Shawn says he won at Vengeance, and they need a tiebreaker. So Vince's idea is next week they can have a 30-minute Iron Man match. Which... You know, as someone who's opposed to matches of that length in general, these are two guys that I am fine watching for that long.
It was the hottest in-ring program that WWE had had, just solely based on the matches. Maybe at this point, like, ever?
Yeah.
I mean, as far as just, like, I mean, not even ever, but at least of this era, where it was just solely focused on not the story, not the feud, but the matches themselves were just great.
Yeah.
Incredible. Just and strictly from an in-ring standpoint. So people wanted to see Kurt Angle and Shawn Michaels wrestle and lock up. So they didn't care that they were going to do it for 30 minutes. That was everyone saying, oh my God, this is going to be an awesome cap to this awesome feud.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe it's, you know, cowardly of me to say because we can't prove it one way or another, but I think the Shawn Michaels and Eddie Guerrero matches would have probably topped these.
No, yeah, I agree. I agree.
That was the plan for WrestleMania 22, which is a bummer.
Huge bummer.
So yeah, we move to Trish Stratus against Victoria. No, I don't remember because she hasn't been on TV recently, but did Trish like just learn this Matrix move that she does every week now?
She did it for a little while, but I think she's just trying to, I think she's using it more because it seems to be successful for
her. Trish is about to win retainer title and Candace and Tori interfere. The match was fine, you know. Trish and Ashley strip Candace after the match, and Candace challenges Ashley and Trish to a 3-on-2 bra and panties match at Raw Homecoming. You know, something for everyone.
Boy, how times have freaking changed.
Yep.
My God. We got an ODQ match between Big Show and Snitsky. Snitsky hit Big Show with a road sign a bunch of times for a 2 count. The garbage can's a cool weapon because it's very loud and bends easily without being too bad of a bump to take. Yeah. You know, that's a good point.
It's aluminum. A good point. It's kind of like how the baking sheets are good, too.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The road sign's kind of like that, too. Like, it's better than getting hit with a chair.
Ideally, you don't want either. But, yeah, I feel you there entirely.
Yeah.
Big Show hits Snitsky with a kitchen sink and got the win.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, also Big Show's going to be on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, so
yes.
If you can find that, go seek that out.
I watched some of it. He basically, they talk a little bit about Homecoming, his, you know, size, and he also showed, like, a new, like, doll that he had.
Also, WrestleMania week from this year, I don't think we talked about it, he's on and tells a story about when he demolished a Japanese toilet because they're not built for people his size. Big Show was on those a lot.
He was.
He's good at that. Good for him. Ric Flair says he's been jumped from behind more times than he can count. He always comes back and he always gets even. He's always had friends in this business. You know, back in the day it was the Four Horsemen, but now it's just Triple H, and Triple H is back next week, and, you know, Rick's real excited about it. I'm sure it'll go great. They've been very good friends for the past few years, and I don't see anything changing.
What, Triple H betraying somebody who's his friend? Nah, that doesn't sound like him.
Yes.
I'm sure things will go just fine next week.
Curran White... Kevin White's here. I'm going to match with Shelton Benjamin.
But that's not the noteworthy thing, because we have a first-time appearance here from somebody who will become a fixture on WWE programming for the ensuing 16 years.
Yeah.
That is Nick Nemeth, Kevin White's caddy.
Hired a caddy, Nick Nemeth. You might know him as Dolph Ziggler.
You also might know him as Nikki from the Spirit Squad.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to watch, huh? We'll see how that stuff aged.
Honestly, I think it's going to age pretty well, because they did nothing like, you know...
No, they took it surprisingly seriously.
They took it seriously. There was nothing, you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
They didn't do any of that. They actually had them just be funny.
I don't know how the 2006 DX stuff is going to age.
That I'm not sure.
It probably won't be very good.
Though, I can't wait for Triple H and Shawn to... impersonate the McMahons.
Yeah.
I'm seeing Sean gallop like Shane, and it's just making me laugh.
Yeah. So Shelton's going for a suplex, and Curran White counters just kind of by falling on top of him, and they really made it seem like Nick Namath tripped Shelton, but he did not trip him.
Not.
I don't know if he missed a spot or what, but yeah, you know, Shelton and Curran White's going to continue, I guess. So then Edge comes out.
Yeah, big I guess energy there.
Okay, yeah, so Edge comes out, got a ladder in the ring. Lita says all that Matt accomplished by doing Twist of Fate on her is that he's a pathetic loser who refuses to move on with his life.
I mean, hey.
Lita says everyone's moving on, though. We'll all just be fine without Matt. Lita says 5 years ago on the first Raw in TNN, it was Edge and Christian against the Hardys in a ladder match. And, you know, next week, their first show back on USA Network, it's going to be Edge against Matt in a ladder match.
That's pretty fucking wild, to be honest with you. I wonder if they researched that.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had to have pointed that out.
Yeah. You know, it's loser leaves Raw. Next week, Edge is going to be a career killer. He thrives in do-or-die situations. Edge says that Matt's just delaying the inevitable, and Matt comes out to push over the ladder as Edge is on top of it, but he decides against it, and then he does it, and Edge did not look like he landed correctly. Looked very painful.
You know, you'd be justified for feeling a certain way about this entire feud and saga, but this was a great promo to basically put an end to it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good.
I really enjoyed this segment. This was the best segment of the entire feud, to be honest. Edge absolutely smoked that promo.
Yes.
Smoked it.
Teddy Long comes into Eric Bischoff's office, says he wants to discuss business. He says that maybe SmackDown can have some exposure on Raw Homecoming. And Bischoff says no. And then Vince comes in, says that next week's show is 3 hours, which is like a pay-per-view. And pay-per-views are joint branded, so why don't they do a match with SmackDown next week? And Eric says that's a great idea. He's just telling Teddy Long they should do that. Vince tells Teddy Long to put something together, and Bischoff asks Vince if he could not face John Cena next week, and Vince tells him that he'll be fine.
Yeah, he, you know, brought up how he brought WWE to its knees, how he, you know, did all this and that, how he's been manipulative and all that other stuff before, and vengeful. I think that was a good way for him to basically have a, you know, hyped him up.
Yeah.
It was a good pep-up segment.
Caden Murdock are in action against Viscera and Val Venus. Val and Viscera actually get in the upper hand, and Lance Cage shoves the ref and gets a disqualification, retains the belts, and you know, whatever you got to do to retain your belts. Rob Conway defeated Eugene. Eugene brought a Shawn Michaels plush bear to the ring with him, and Rob Conway ripped the head off and
that's just rude.
Hit the ego trip.
I guess so. We know that Rob Conway's impact apparently had an influence on Charlotte this past Sunday.
There we go. And then it's time for our main event. John Cena and Shawn Michaels against Chris Masters and Carlito in a tag team tables match. So the ref is on the apron for some reason. And Shawn goes to kick Carlito. And Carlito ducks. And Shawn kicks the ref. And the ref falls onto a table that does not break. So that's not ideal.
Thank God.
And then a table was set up in the corner. And it looked like they were going to put John Cena through it. But Shawn speared him to stop him from going through it. I like that. That was good.
Yes.
Bischoff and Engel come out. Engel takes out Cena from behind and then pushes Michaels off the top rope through a table, which technically counts as a win for Carlito and Chris Masters.
It does.
Then Engel goes back in the ring and Engel slams Cena through the table.
All right. So let's bring it home here with sports and looking here to see if there's any major video game releases. I see Ultimate Spider-Man on here from September 22nd. Remember how that game played out.
Yeah, I don't remember that one. The one I remember is Spider-Man 2, which was the best Spider-Man game
yes.
for a long time until the PS4 one, which
yes.
is an all-time great game.
Exactly. Also coming out this week was Tiger Woods PGA Tour 06 on the PSP. So that's a fun little one to look back on there.
Yep.
I see Top Spin on PS2. I remember that game. That game was fun. Rainbow Six Lockdown on the GameCube. In addition to that, there was a Frogger game that came out. Gretzky NHL 2006, a game I have no recollection of. It was
a 989 sports
game.
That
was a 989 sports game, yeah. That makes sense. I didn't remember that. I forgot about that branding that game had. That's about it for video games that came out. As far as sports this week, trying to see if there's anything that's interesting that happened here. Also, apparently, by the way, that Tennessee-LSU game took place on September the 26th.
Oh, there we go.
Because of Katrina's impact on Baton Rouge and also Hurricane Rita as well. Let's see. So, just some stuff with baseball, but the season hasn't ended yet. So we're not really concerned about that. In addition to all that, there's not too much here. So should I talk about college football this week, or...?
No, we can probably save that for next week.
Yeah, let's save it for next week. Okay.
All right, so SmackDown from Laredo, Texas.
Yes.
Really just sticking in Texas. Michael Cole teaches us about Laredo to open the show, which is a weird thing they did all night, where they were just kind of telling us facts about Laredo, Texas.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind that necessarily.
They just didn't do it regularly.
They should have.
It's out of place.
Honestly, they should have.
But one of Michael Cole's facts is that 12 million people legally cross the border at Laredo every year, so you can kind of see where this is going immediately. JBL's here. He has a poncho on and an inner tube, and he has a donkey with him and a sombrero. Cuts a promo about a lot of people in the crowd don't speak English. Not ideal.
Mm-mm.
You'd prefer that he didn't do that. Then we get into JBL and Kennedy against Rey Mysterio and Hardcore Holly.
And Kennedy's microphone debuts in this segment.
Yes.
Which I thought was great, because he pushed Chimmel out of the ring again.
Mm-hmm. Rey goes for the 619, but Kennedy, or JBL pulls him out, hits him with the Mexican flag while the ref is distracted. Then JBL goes back in and hits Clothesline from Hell on Hardcore Holly to get the win. Eddie Guerrero's got a real nice styrofoam tray of Mexican food.
Oh, yeah. Looks good as hell.
Delicious.
Not going to lie.
Batista comes up, and Eddie apologizes for last week, says that tonight, you know, they're going to become tag team champions. And Batista says, you know, Eddie had a bad stomach last week. You probably shouldn't be eating all that Mexican food. And Batista takes it and starts eating it.
Also, Batista, please don't be gross and stop eating things that Eddie put his mouth on.
Yeah, they use the same fork.
And they also grab the same tortilla that he bit in.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's what I've been missing. Yeah. You could have just taken any of the ones that were in his lap.
Mm-hmm.
You take that one. Come on, Dave. That's gross.
Earlier today, Melina was on the telephone outside, and Christy came rolling up on a motorcycle. She got a motorcycle now.
Yeah, Harley.
Yeah. Nice. Melina got mad at her because, you know, she was on the telephone, and Christy drove a motorcycle past her, which, I mean, really, not a bad reason to get mad at someone.
Not really.
So they're having a match, and Melina gets the win after distraction from Nitro Mercury, and Eminem kind of goes after Christy after the match, but Heidenreich and Animal come out for the save.
I'm not going to lie, this went a lot longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
They gave him some time.
Yeah, they did. Bob Orton's in action against The Undertaker.
Yeah, I was surprised that they did this too.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but Bob Orton is in action again in a couple weeks against someone that he teamed with at WrestleMania 1.
Yes, that is correct.
On SmackDown.
Yes.
Which is kind of crazy.
That is correct.
I say I don't want to spoil it as I give the whole thing away. Bob Orton calls out The Undertaker, says that he's a Hall of Famer and very tough, so he's not scared, and Undertaker doesn't have to worry because Randy's not going to get involved either. So, this is Bob Orton's first WWE match in 18 years. He's afraid of The Undertaker, trying to get away from him, even though he said he was not afraid of him. We get a ref bump in this match, and then Randy comes out and beats up The Undertaker for a while. Bob Orton goes for the pin, but only gets a two. Then Undertaker goes for the tombstone, but Randy tries to interfere, and Undertaker gets rid of him, and then hits the tombstone for the win.
Did that need a ref bump?
I mean, to get the Randy part, I guess.
I guess,
but, you
yeah.
know. Bobby Lashley is in action against Russell Simpson, who, very popular job guy in the mid-2000s.
Yes.
Lashley gets another dominant win. Simon Dean comes out after, says that he was impressed with Lashley, would like to offer him a free Simon System product. And also they're having a match at No Mercy, and Lashley press slams him out of the ring.
Yes, and then we get the Peep Show with Christian. He says that there's no United States title match and No Mercy, and there's no reason it shouldn't be him versus Benoit. Then Booker and Charmel come out, and Booker says that he should get the match. Jordan comes out, says he should, which, why? You lost, like, 5 times already.
Mm-hmm.
In less than, like, 3 minutes. Theodore Long came out and said he's going to let Benoit decide who gets the title shot, but he'll get one more look at the three of them in a triple threat match here and now.
Yes.
So triple threat commences. It's pretty decent. They did a powerbomb Tower of Doom thing, which I thought was neat. And then Orton pinned Booker with the tights. Benoit came out to pick his opponent, and he decides he's going to face all three of them, because he doesn't care.
Yeah, so again, even with the tights, having Orlando Jordan win after the past month of television is interesting.
Interesting. An interesting choice.
Also, Benoit not just facing Orlando Jordan doesn't make a ton of sense.
No, yeah, exactly.
You know, from a storyline perspective. Yeah, I didn't like that very much.
Nope.
Vince McMahon comes into Teddy Long's office, wants to know what Teddy Long planned for SmackDown's match at Raw Homecoming. Ted hasn't really put a match together yet, but he has picked JBL, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Chris Benoit, Christian, and Batista to appear. Just doesn't know the match yet. Well, you got 6 guys. Three of them are faces, 3 of them are heels. So yeah, we'll see what match they come back with. Then it's time for our main event. LOD 2005 against Eddie Guerrero and Batista. Late in the match, Batista hits a Batista bomb, but Eminem comes out with chairs, and they take out Legion of Doom and try to take out Batista and Eddie. Batista takes out one of them, and Eddie gets the chair from Nitro and goes to hit him. Nitro ducks, and Eddie hits Batista right in the back, but Eddie throws the chair away and plays possum, so Batista thinks that Nitro did it. You know?
Classic Eddie.
I like that.
I do too.
SmackDown is very good.
Yes, SmackDown is firing on all cylinders. Raw is a tough watch.
Yeah.
Their mid-card just sucks.
It takes
the life out of the show.
I still think Raw Homecoming will be good.
Yes, same.
But
I think the addition of Triple H will help things too, but yeah, no, this the shows are wildly different from each other in the sense that SmackDown is a good, honest, fun watch throughout the 2 hours.
Yeah. We need a King of the Ring, I suppose.
We do. Good lord.
Kennedy got a couple wins.
Yeah, let's go with Ken Kennedy. He was on the winning side in both matches he was in.
Yeah.
Let's go with Kennedy. All
right.
Including a win over Rey Mysterio. That is nothing to laugh at.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so thank you for joining us on this supersized edition of the Ruthless Aggression Podcast. We'll be back next week for a not-so-supersized version, although...
It will be just one week.
It'll be just 1 week, though. So we'll be back to talk about that, talk about the happenings of the draft, because it will be done and dusted by the time we record next. So be sure to be on the lookout for that. And, you know, obviously, subscribe to the Patreon. Follow us on Twitter at BarbersChairNet if you already aren't, which I don't get why you wouldn't be at this point anyway. So for Rob, I'm Chris. Enjoy your night and enjoy the draft for whatever happens.